Hi there, and thanks for that introduction, and welcome back from lunch. I know that the number one thing you guys want to do after a heavy lunch in a beautiful beach climate here in Belize is to hear about U.S. taxation and how the U.S. tax man is going to take your money. But that is my topic. This is a short 15-minute introduction, we might have some time for questions at the end. We are going to be going into more depth with trusts and corporations and other tax issues tomorrow. If you look on your schedule, I think it's 2 or 3 in the afternoon. This presentation is intended for U.S. citizens who are living and working abroad and for businesses or corporations owned by U.S. citizens outside the United States, so offshore corporations. The premise, unfortunately, that we start with is that the U.S. taxes all of its citizens on their worldwide income. It doesn't necessarily matter where that person resides. They are at least required to file their U.S. tax returns and report their U.S. assets if they hold a U.S. passport. America is just about the only country in the world, I believe there's maybe one or two others, that tax its expats, its citizens abroad, but that's the climate that we find ourselves in. What this presentation is not for, it is not intended for offshore asset protection. Offshore asset protection is tax neutral. It should not increase or decrease your U.S. tax. In other words, there should be no U.S. tax difference between an onshore and an offshore asset protection structure. Offshore asset protection usually requires you to file additional U.S. forms, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to increase your tax rate. You know, it shouldn't increase your U.S. taxes. Might increase your bill from your accountant, but it won't make any difference on your amount due at the end of the year. This presentation also is not for people retiring abroad. If you retire abroad, it should not reduce your U.S. federal tax obligations. Retirement and pension income is earned in the United States while you're working in the U.S. and typically remains taxable in the U.S. even when you move abroad. It may, getting out of your particular state, moving to a foreign country that's not going to tax your pension, may reduce or eliminate your state tax bill from your retirement and pension income. Just for example, if you're living in California and you move to Nevada that doesn't have a state income tax, that would usually eliminate the tax on your pension. From California, you're moving to a non-taxing state, Nevada. The same is true if you moved to, say, Panama. You move from California to Panama. Panama is not going to tax your U.S. pension, and California no longer gets a shot at it either. So, but that is really outside of the scope of what we're talking about here. The basis of expat taxation and the most important tool in the expat toolbox is the foreign earned income exclusion. If you're a resident of another country or you're out of U.S. for 330 out of 365 days, you can earn up to $95,100 in 2012 free of U.S. federal income tax. So if a husband and wife are operating a business, each can draw a salary of $95,100. So about $180,000. And from here on out, I'm going to be rounding that off, by the way, to about $90,000 per person just because it makes the math easier. I've got to do it while I'm in my head while I'm standing up here, and I ain't no mathematician, so we're going to be rounding them off to $180,000 joint, $90,000 per person. All right, and so I said, if you're a resident of another country or you're out of the U.S. for 330 days, you qualify for the foreign earned income exclusion. A resident is someone who moves to another country and intends that to make that their home. So if you move here, for example, to Belize, and you intend to stay here for the foreseeable future, meaning, you know, as long as you're looking forward, you are planning on staying in Belize, then that is your home. If you're coming to Belize, so let's say you're going to work for a bank here and you're going to be here for 2.5 years and then you're going back to the U.S., you are not a resident of Belize for that 2.5 years. You have not moved to Belize with the intent of making it your home. You intend to return to the U.S. So, as you can see, the residency test is kind of a touchy-feely test. It gets to your intention. It gets to, well, has he become a member of the community? Has he broken as many ties as he could to the U.S.? Has she given up her bank accounts and things in the U.S. and moved them all to Belize? Now, that's kind of the things that go into a residency test. A much simpler test is the 330-day test. If you're out of the U.S. for 330 out of 365 days, you qualify for the foreigner income exclusion. That 365 days doesn't have to be in a calendar year. It's a simple math formula. You're either in or you're out. Much easier to figure out, and I always strongly recommend people use that test in the first year if they're going to try to qualify for the foreigner and income exclusion. Residency test, if you're going to be in the country for the full calendar year, you can qualify. You should be filing taxes, tax returns in that country. So if you're moved to Panama and you're paying taxes in Panama on your income, then maybe you're a resident of that even though it's your first year. If you're not filing tax returns and you're not a full calendar year, again, use the 330-day test rather than the 365, rather than the residency test. All right, and if you're going to be working on a long-term project, again, say 14 months, that doesn't make you a resident. It means that you're there on a project and you intend to return to the U.S. at some point. And this is the one that I get mostly at these Live Abroad conferences, and it's always the toughest case. I call it the perpetual traveler, someone who never puts down roots. So let's say you're going to be living in Belize for 3 months, and maybe you're going to get the QRP residency visa in Belize. But then you're planning on being, let's say, in Panama for a month and in Asia for 3 months, and, you know, maybe you're going to be in Europe for 4 months out of the year. In other words, you're not really going to be in any place for more than 6 months. You're not really going to put down roots. You're not going to become a part of the community. Even though you have a residency permit in Belize, you're not going to be really living and making your home in Belize. So that makes you, in my explanation, is a perpetual traveler. A perpetual traveler is definitely needs to use the 330-day test, especially for the first year or two. So then they don't need to worry about proving that, hey, okay, I'm only in Belize for 3 months, but I want to claim that I'm a resident here. You're not going to be successful in that. So you need to use the 330-day test. Foreign earned income exclusion, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. If you're a U.S. citizen, living anywhere outside the U.S., if you're single and you're making around $10,000, or you're married and filing and need to file a joint return, you're making about $18,000, you have to file your U.S. tax return. And if you're self-employed, even if you're outside the U.S., and you earn as little as $400, it's amazing, $400 is still the rule, you have to file your U.S. tax return. If you do not file your tax returns and you're audited by the IRS, you can lose the foreign earned income exclusion. So in other words, if you were, let's say the last 4 years, you've been making about $85,000 a year, and you've been living in Colombia. You're in Medellin, one of my favorite places. That income would, even if it's not taxable in Colombia, and even if you haven't filed tax returns in Colombia, but let's say you're out of the U.S. for the full 330 days, then that income would qualify under the foreign earned income exclusion, and you would owe no federal income tax on that money. So you've earned $85,000 a year for the last 4 years, free of U.S. taxes. However, you didn't file your tax returns. Now the IRS is coming after you. They've audited you. And now you're don't qualify for the foreign earned income exclusion anymore. So that means that full $85,000 a year is 100% taxable in the United States, and you're going to you haven't paid any estimates, you haven't made any payments. It's going to be a huge tax burden. There are a number of limitations on the foreign earned income exclusion. First of all, everyone who meets the test can use the foreign earned income exclusion to reduce or eliminate their federal income tax. If you are paid from an offshore corporation, then you're also free of Social Security tax, FICA, Medicare, and other federal taxes. And it's 2012. In 2013, it's expected that all of those taxes, the Social Security, Medicare, FICA, are going way up. So I would say that if you're operating some type of business and you can do it through a corporation, that's certainly your best course. And if you're paid by a U.S. corp, then you have to have these checks, these monies withheld from your paycheck. You have to still get a W-2. So in other words, if your employer is a U.S. corporation and you're living and working for them in China, operating as an expat, operating a factory or something, that U.S. company still has to give you a W-2, and you still have to pay into the Social Security, FICA, and Medicare system. All right. If that same employer were operating through a foreign corp, then that wouldn't be true. If you were self-employed and you're operating, you know, you're running your own business, you're a web designer, or you're doing contracting work, or whatever it might be, you're running your own business, you're self-employed, you have to pay self-employment tax on your income. Self-employment tax is about 15%, more or less. When I run the numbers in a software program, because there's certain deductions and things that you get, self-employment tax on $90,000 is about $12,500. On $180,000, husband and wife filing joint, both earning about $90,000. Self-employment tax is around $25,000 on that $90,000. So on that $180,000. So in other words, if you're operating without a corporation, you're self-employed, yes, you're still getting to use the foreign earned income exclusion, and that is eliminating the federal income tax component of your IRS tax. However, it is not, the foreign earned income exclusion is not affecting or eliminating the self-employment tax component of your, or the Medicare, Social Security, FICA tax. All right? That's the next one. Here's some more limitations on the foreign earned income exclusion. If you're operating a business outside the U.S. without a foreign corporation, that business is reported on your Schedule C, just like any self-employed person. Be it in the U.S. or outside the U.S., that business without a corporation goes on Schedule C. You'll pay self-employment tax on that money, as we just talked about. So let's say that's $12,500. However, also in addition, your foreign earned income exclusion will be reduced by your business expenses. All right, we said that your foreign earned income exclusion before was $90,000. We're using round numbers. So let's say your business income is $300,000 for the year. All right, your gross sales is $300,000, and your profit margin is exactly 50%. It's amazing. So you've got costs of $150,000. Your the products and operating and overhead costs that you have for your business is 50%, $150,000 a year. That means that your foreign earned income exclusion is cut in half. It's cut by the proportion of your self-employed expenses. So because you're operating without a corporation, your foreign earned income exclusion is reduced from $90,000, again rounding, to $45,000, cut in half. So you can exclude. So in this example, you had gross sales of $300, you had cost of $150, means your net profit is $150. However, out of that $150,000 net profit, you only get to exclude $45,000 through the foreign earned income exclusion rather than the full $90,000. All right. So what's the solution? If you have a business outside the United States and you meet the foreign earned income exclusion test, you need to incorporate offshore. You need to pay yourself a salary equal to or up to the foreign earned income exclusion amount, which is $95,100 for 2012. No numbers have been released for 2013 yet. it doesn't matter where you incorporate. Any country that's not going to tax your corporate income is a good place to be. It doesn't matter if you're operating and living in Colombia and operating through a Panama corporation. That's fine for U.S. tax purposes. Corporation doesn't need to be in your country of operation or your country of residence. Using this offshore corporation eliminates the self-employment tax or the Medicare, FICA, and other things. So we're going to say that that's going to save you about 15%. 15% of $180,000 or 15% of $90,000. And it's also going to avoid the foreign earned income exclusion being reduced by business expenses. Finally, the foreign corporation, the offshore corporation, may be able to retain some earnings offshore. So if the foreign earned income exclusion is $95,000 and you earned $195,000, you're a single individual, you earned $195,000 net profit in your foreign corporation, you may be able to draw a salary of up to $95,000, and that's free of federal income tax and also Social Security, Medicare, and any other type of tax. And then that additional net profit, which is $100,000, you may be able to retain that into your corporation and only pay tax on it when you distribute it, possibly as a dividend or whatever it may be. If income levels of the business are lower in future years, you may be able to take it out in form of a salary. There's a lot of planning opportunities that are going to become available to you because you are retaining earnings into your foreign corporation. All right, so when are you going to be, this next slide is filing requirements, when are you going to be required to file? Whenever you create an offshore corporation or an offshore asset protection structure and open a bank account outside the United States, it's likely that you're going to have some filing requirements. Not necessarily tax due. You know, if you're putting after-tax money in an offshore asset protection structure, or you're putting, or your business is earning less than the foreign earned income exclusion, and you're living and working abroad, qualifying for that exclusion, you may not owe any more taxes. You're going to have more filing requirements. You're going to have Form 2555, the foreign corporation return. Maybe you're going to need. Maybe you're going to have Form 3520, 3520A for the offshore trust, possibly, or maybe you need to file the foreign bank account report. And if you take a look at our website, which is premieroffshore.com, you'll find under the tax section a list of the various forms that you may be required to file, some for trust, some for corporations, some for simply having a bank account outside the United States. And while we're on this topic, I would like to point out that the penalties for failing to file some of these forms are just outrageously severe. It's possible that if you don't file your foreign bank account report, that you'll face a penalty of up to $100,000 per year per account. And if you'll remember, a few years ago, there was the U.S. went after UBS and really started this very profitable attack on foreign accounts, brought in huge amounts of revenue and with extremely severe penalties. So if you're going to be living, working, and doing business abroad, and you're going to be having money, bank accounts, corporations outside the U.S., be sure to have a qualified CPA, accountant, or tax attorney preparing your returns that is familiar with what forms you need to file, because the penalties for failing to comply are extremely draconian. All right, and remember that foreign earned income exclusion, you need to file your returns or risk losing it. If you're audited, it could be taken away from you, and 100% of your income could become taxable in the United States. Now, you know, I don't mean to scare you away from doing business abroad or having bank accounts abroad by pointing out that the penalties are so extremely severe. It's just that you need to be cautious when you're setting up these structures, that you're using someone who is experienced in U.S. tax preparation and a firm that provides U.S. compliant tax services. You know, if you go to a Panama law firm, they'll be happy to set up a Panama corporation for you. And when you ask them about taxes, they will tell you, no, this corporation does not pay tax in Panama, and that would be the extent of their advice. Well, as a U.S. citizen holding a U.S. passport, Panama is the very least of your tax concern. It's the U.S. That is going to be 99% of your tax issues, tax concerns. So be sure to use a professional that is experienced in U.S. tax compliance services. All right, and Premier Offshore, what services do we provide? For expat employees, we prepare personal income tax for U.S. citizens living and working abroad. For international structures, offshore corporations, and offshore trusts, we prepare U.S. tax returns for these entities, along with FBAR forms and anything else that may be relevant. And we also incorporate these structures. We form offshore trusts, offshore corporations, LLCs, and other things. Oh, hey, yeah, and just a quick note. Yes, I got it. That we're going to be also have a presentation on taking your IRA offshore tomorrow morning. So if you're considering, if you have an IRA from a prior employer and you would like to take it offshore, we have that presentation at 9:30 tomorrow. All right, thank you very much for listening to me. I see we went over a little, but so we don't have time for questions, but we will have, I'll be out available in the lobby if you would like to come by. Thank you very much.